think of living with sight loss and having a career. Sometimes it's easy to assume that the range of jobs that blind people might do would be very limited. But it might surprise you to know that blind people have careers that you wouldn't associate with sight loss. Take, for instance, a gentleman called Alan North, who is registered blind. His career path might surprise you indeed. Hi, Alan.
Good afternoon.
Now, tell us, first of all, what's your career?
Well, it's been quite varied over the years. I'm sort of semi-retired nowadays. But for the first part of my adult life, I was in retail management. And then through various circumstances, I changed to become a swimming teacher. I worked for a variety of companies teaching swimming. And one of the companies I worked for, the manager approached me and said, there's a new tutor qualification come out for training lifeguards. If I pay for you to go to Birmingham University to do the tutor's course, will you tutor me one course a year free of charge? So, of course, because he was paying, I said yes. I went on the tutor's course, became a life-saving tutor, then a first aid tutor, then a swimming tutor. And everything I now do has come from that original little nucleus.
Now, you're registered blind. You do have some sight, though, don't you?
I do, yeah. I was for many, many years, I was registered as partially sighted. And then about, probably 10, 15 years ago, my consultant notified me that he was going to change me to registered blind because he said my eyesight had deteriorated and he couldn't guarantee that I wouldn't go blind at some point in the future. My eyesight hasn't drastically changed. It has maybe slightly. But I see most things, I just don't pick out fine detail, that's all.
You've been a swimming instructor now for, what, is it 29 years?
About 29 years it'll be, something like that, yeah.
And is that your main focus now of what you do?
Probably now I'm more manage than actual tutor myself. I run a swim school with four teachers that work for me. But because of the original way that I developed it, we teach primarily private lessons only, where the teacher is actually in the water with the pupil. And that's how the way I sort of did it myself, because if I was closer to the pupil, I could obviously see better what they were actually doing. Where if I'm stood on a poolside 10, 15 metres away, I wouldn't have much chance of being able to see what they were actually doing.
When you started training and doing your tutoring qualification, you had sight problems then?
Yes.
That didn't make you think, I don't know if I should do this?
It caused me various little problems along the way, but I think there are ways around most problems. I mean, when I went through sort of school back in the, early 60s, I was basically going through school with a magnifying glass and the guy sat next to me telling me what to write on my piece of paper on my exercise book. When I became an adult and they started to bring out some of the electronic gadgets that are now readily available, it then enabled me to study more mainstream. So I then went back to college part-time and did various things like degrees and stuff like that, which there was no way I could have done that when I was in my teens because there wasn't the electronic gadgets there to sort of assist.
And the first aid, I would have thought that would be quite a challenge to learn to do first aid when you've got visual impairment.
Yeah, the story that I tell, where the vision side of it seems to sort of apply, is about 20 years ago I did a qualification call as Cert Ed through my local college. People that have got degrees would call it a PGCE, a postgraduate certificate in education. And you had to go on a residential towards the end of the course. I mean, most of it was at night school, but you had to go on a residential. And on this residential, there were sort of like 500 or 600 people there. And you were grouped together in different little groups of similar specialities. So I was grouped together. I don't know how you get swimming teaching being connected with outdoor pursuits, but I was connected together with people that were rock climbers and canoe instructors. They were all teachers of some description, but more on the outdoor pursuit side of things. And the instructor was given information about us all, so he theoretically would know that I had a vision problem. And he stood us in a big circle, and he stood in the middle, and he demonstrated tying a knot on a piece of rope. We'd all been given a 3-foot length of rope. And my colleague stood next to me, who was from my college, says, should I go tell him that you can't see what he's doing? I said, no, he's supposed to know that. So he tied the knot and then told us all to do it. Of course, I couldn't see what he was doing, so I couldn't tie the knot. And over the next sort of 10, 15 minutes, he broke it down into smaller and smaller groups till it ended up the only person in the room who couldn't tie the knot was me. He had a spotter who came round the back and had been watching what had been going on. He came round and whispered in my ear and he said, do you see what he's doing? I said, no. So he then went over and had a quiet word with the lecturer. And the lecturer came over, stood in front of me and did something that I would never have thought of in a million years. And he said, shut your eyes. And he told me how to tie the knot and I tied it perfectly. So it actually taken away what was causing the problem. And that then brought home to me when I was thinking about training people with visual impairment on first aid, was sometimes the vision side of it can be as problematic as not. So I've actually used it in training where I've taken someone who is sighted and struggling to get a certain sequence, say, for example, on CPR into their heads, who are getting it confused all the time, is I've got them knelt down in front of the mannequin, I've told them to shut their eyes, and then I've taught them through what they do, and they do it quite often perfect. So when I've taught some of the visually impaired groups, whether they're sighted or partially sighted or completely got no sight at all, if I talk them through it, get them knelt in front of the mannequin, you can quite often get them to work out what to do without the vision being a problem.
That might even be an advantage, actually, to training visually impaired people for you, because you can empathise really with what's going on to a degree. Yeah.
Most certainly.
Have you found that you've ever had any prejudice in the workforce about your sight? Assumptions made that you can't possibly do this?
A little bit, but the majority of organisations that I've had contact with have been quite empathetic and have made various adjustments to enable me to do whatever the job is. There was one point many years ago when I was I was unemployed, and I hated the idea of being unemployed, and I wanted any job they would give me. And they said, oh, we've got a job coming up as a security guard in a secure inland revenue collector of taxes site. So I went for an interview with the security officer and explained obviously about my eyesight, and he said, well, how would you be able to see to go up down the steps and things like that? And I said, you give me a test. And within 5 minutes, I was doing it better than most of the people that have been there doing it for 10, 15, 20 years. So there are ways around most things. Again, I suppose the development of modern technology has made things more accessible than maybe it was when I was a teenager. So that's one way that things have been. But prejudice, the one that I've encountered of recent times was a young lady that came from, I think it was the Hull area, that came to do a first aid course that was visually impaired. And she had approached one of the major training providers in first aid and had been discouraged from going forward and been told that we don't think you'll be able to do it. And even if you do the course, we won't be able to issue with a certificate. And I'm saying, that's rubbish. You know, if someone can do the task and do that task competently, why should they not be rewarded with whatever the qualification was? And that's where I came into contact with her. And she went through the course and she had no problems whatsoever. So that's the sort of prejudices that I've come across more than anything else.
We should expect perhaps to come up against, I don't even know if it's prejudice, it's probably a lack of awareness, isn't it?
It is. I think that's probably more of it, yeah.
And we have to perhaps prove ourselves a little bit that we can do it. So it's not just to give up when the first time people say, oh no, you can't do that.
No. In fact, a lot of people that know me have said over the years that quite often a lot of the things I have actually done, I've done it because people have told me I can't do it. it's like when I was a young teenager, I once went with a gang of friends to an ice rink to watch to go skating, and there happened to be an ice speed skating race on at the time, which I'd never seen before. And I said, yeah, I could see me doing that, I could really fancy doing that. And all my mates all turned around, who'd known me for years, said, don't be stupid, you'd kill yourself doing that with your eyesight. And 6 months later, I was racing for that Speedskate team. And I raced for about 2 or 3 years till I got married and couldn't afford to do the travelling anymore. And I'm sure I did it initially because they told me I couldn't do it.
Yeah. But it just shows, because nobody says it's going to be easy, do they?
Oh, no.
So what would you suggest? I mean, obviously, yours is a distinctive path that you've taken. It might be something different, but for somebody living with sight loss, where would you start? Well, just have an idea of what you want to do, ask the questions, but don't necessarily just take the answer straight away.
I would agree with that. I have come across a number of people over the years that have it's slightly different to myself, because my visual impairment I've had basically all my life. And I've come across a number of people that have either lost the vision or part of the vision in later life. So they've grown up with so-called normal vision, and then for whatever reason, whether it's illness or accident or whatever, they've either lost it or lost part of it. And sometimes they seem to have slipped through the sort of grates of not being made aware of what the capabilities and what the things are they can actually do. I was once, for example, walking on the canal bank in Skipton. There was a canal boat festival thing going on. And I was stood chatting to an older couple that were sat on the back of a narrowboat. And I was having a conversation. I can't remember what we were actually talking about. And I could hear somebody moving about inside the boat. And I must have said something about, you know, who's that? And they said, oh, it's our son. He recently lost his sight, and he's now not able to do hardly anything for himself. And I'm saying, why not? And they actually got... I went inside the boat and actually sat and chatted to him for about half an hour, and he just had not been made aware by any advisory groups that he'd come into contact with of what the possibilities were of things that he might be able to do and achieve. And just somebody to sit him down and talk him through whether he then went away and did anything, that I don't know. But I found it quite frightening that he'd not actually been made aware of what the possibilities could be.
And sometimes you think, you know, what I knew before I lost my sight, I still know.
Of course you do, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm not a different person. I just perhaps need to change the way I do some things.
I also think that someone who, for example, may have lost the sight or part of the sight, they may have other senses that develop in a better way. I don't know whether my hearing is actually physically any better than someone with normal vision, but I do think it's quite enhanced. And I think your other senses also pick up as well. So whereas you might lose something with your vision, but you may pick up something up on another side.
Well, I'm taking from this that really going by yourself is you just don't give in, do you?
Oh, God, no, not at all.
Yeah, so that, I mean, that would be the advice, wouldn't it, then, to have an idea or something and then just try and persevere. Again, of course, you might...
Challenge it.
Yeah, but you might also find from doing that there's something else that you hadn't thought about that could do, yeah.
Most certainly, yeah. There used to be, years ago, a visually impaired school in Bradford near the one of the main hospitals. It doesn't exist nowadays. And quite a few years ago, I used to go in once a year and talk to the teenagers that were getting towards the point where they would be leaving school and going out there into the world to live and survive. And one of the teachers had asked me originally to go in just to sort of give them some idea of you know, how to develop possibly in the future. I don't have that opportunity anymore because that school doesn't exist anymore now. But I'm sure there are other people out there doing a similar thing with other visually impaired schools around the country. If anybody who listens to the program wants any help or advice or information, I'm quite happy for you to give out either my phone number or my email address for someone to get in contact with me.
I tell you, why don't you do that just now?
Yeah, I'll do that. Yeah, sure. Well, my probably best to give my mobile number, which is 07970298019, and my email address, which I look at my emails every few hours anyway, so that's obviously one of the easiest ways to get hold of me, because obviously if I'm teaching, then obviously I don't answer my telephone. And my email address is all lowercase, and it is north, as in the words north and south, hyphen or dash, not the underscore, as a lot of people put. And then it's Alan with one L, A-L-A-N, and it's at sky.com.
And if you have any problems with the contact details, get in touch with me here at RNIB Connect Radio, and we will get you in touch with Alan. But in the meantime, Alan, thank you so much for joining us.
Anytime. Thank you very much.